Welcome back to the Deep Dive. I want to start today by asking you to visualize something. Just picture your kitchen for a second, and I want you to open that one drawer. You know the one I'm talking about.
The junk drawer.
Exactly. The junk drawer. It's got, what, a couple of batteries, a screwdriver that doesn't fit anything, 3 dried out rubber bands.
A takeout menu from, like, 2019.
Yes. And a random key you're afraid to throw away because you have no idea what it opens. It is just chaos.
It is. It's the path of least resistance. Right. You don't have a plan for those things, so they just end up there.
And the reason we're talking about kitchen organization is that for most people, their investment portfolio looks exactly like that drawer.
That is a painful but incredibly accurate analogy.
Think about it. You've got some tech stock your cousin mentioned at Thanksgiving. You have a random bond fund because some blog told you to diversify. You've got a pile of cash you're scared to touch. It's not a machine. It's a collection.
It's a financial junk drawer. And today, we are going to fix that. We're doing a deep dive into Chapter 4 of The Infinite Investor by Jocelyn Dubey. And this chapter is, I would argue, the most important one in the whole book because it's all about architecture.
And the core idea here is pretty bold. Dubey says we need to stop asking the question, what should I buy?
He says that's the wrong question. It's the amateur question. It implies the secret is just picking the right lottery ticket. The professional question, the one he wants us to ask, is what role does this asset play in my system?
If you can't answer that, you're just hoarding.
Exactly. Yeah. Not investing.
So let's build this system. Dubey lays it out using what he calls the 4 buckets. But it all sits under this big idea of the barbell principle. Now, when I hear barbell, I'm thinking of the gym.
In a way, yeah. It's about duality. Dubey argues that a robust portfolio has to do 2 sort of contradictory things at the same time. On one side of the barbell, you have the shield.
Okay.
And on the other side, you have the sword.
Shield and sword. I like that. So break down the shield for me. What's its job?
The shield is about 35% of your portfolio. And its only job is survival. That's it. It ensures that no matter what the world throws at you, market crash, depression, personal emergency, you are never knocked out of the game.
You survive to play another day?
You survive. And the sword. That's the other 65%. That's your engine for compounding, for growth. The mistake people make is they try to find one thing that does both.
The Holy Grail. A stock that's totally safe, but also doubles every year.
Which doesn't exist. So you have to separate the functions. Survival first, then growth.
Okay, so we have this barbell. But Dubey gets more specific. He splits the shield and the sword into 4 buckets. And I want to spend some real time on bucket 1 because, honestly, this is the one that really made me rethink things. Bucket 1 is cash.
Yes. And this is where Dubey really picks a fight with modern finance, because the standard narrative is cash is trash.
Oh, constantly.
Yeah.
You feel that anxiety, especially when inflation is high. Like, your money is just melting. You feel like a spectator.
Dubey flips that completely. He says cash isn't a spectator. It's the most powerful player on the board. He calls cash an infinite option.
That sounds great, but it's a little abstract. Unpack infinite option for us.
Okay, so think about buying a stock today. You take all your money, put it in the S&P 500 right now. You've just exercised a finite option. You've made a bet that these prices right now are the right ones.
And that option is gone. I'm locked in.
You're on the roller coaster. But cash is a perpetual call option with no expiration date. It is the right to buy any asset at any future time at a price that hasn't even appeared yet. It never decays.
So you're basically buying options on the future.
You are buying freedom from what's called path dependency.
Okay, there's a term we need to find, path dependency.
It just means that where you end up depends on the specific road you took. So imagine, you're 100% invested because cash is trash, the market crashes 40%, and then bam, life happens, you lose your job.
You have to sell at the absolute bottom. That's the nightmare.
That is a disastrous path. You can't recover from that. But if you have bucket 1 filled with cash, he says just about 15%, you break that dependency. You're never a forced seller. He has this great line, good decisions are never made under duress. Cash eliminates the duress.
Psychologically, that makes perfect sense. I sleep better, but I have to push back on the math. I can hear someone listening saying, okay, great, I'm safe, but cash yields 4% or 5%. That's not making me rich.
And here is the aha moment. This is the part that changed everything for me. Dubey says the return on cash is not the interest rate.
It's not.
No. The true return of cash is the internal rate of return of the fat pitch.
The fat pitch, like waiting for that perfect baseball throw right over the plate.
Exactly. The market crashes. A fantastic company is trading at a 50% discount because everyone else is panicking. You, because you held that infinite option of cash, can step in and buy. The return on that money isn't 4%.
It's the 20% or 30% annual return you get from buying a dollar of value for 50 cents.
Exactly. The return on cash is the return of the opportunity it allows you to seize. He uses this metaphor of vases for the buckets. Cash is a vase that cannot break. It's productive just by existing. Its product is freedom.
I love that. Okay, so that's bucket one. The shield starts with cash, but it needs a second component. Bucket two, the index. Dubé calls this the Darwinian machine.
This is so interesting because he just rejects the label passive. He sees the S&P 500 not as a passive list, but as an active algorithm.
An algorithm for what?
For survival of the fittest. I mean, think about what the index actually does. It's ruthless. If a company is failing or shrinking, what happens?
It gets kicked out, dropped from the list.
It gets deleted. And a new growing company gets added. The index automatically culls the weak and adds the strong. He calls this the nursery concept.
The nursery?
Yeah. Think about a company like NVIDIA before it was a giant. It started as a mid-cap. As it grew, it entered the index. By owning the index, you own the next generation of winners before they're obvious to everyone. You capture them while they're growing up in the nursery.
That's a great reframe. You don't have to be smart enough to pick the winner. You just have to own the system that selects them.
Right. And this bucket, about 20% of the portfolio, is your safety net. But, and here's the behavioral part. Dubé has a very strict rule for bucket two.
It is.
Absolute inaction.
Do nothing.
Literally nothing. He goes back to the vase metaphor. The index is an unbreakable vase, but only if you don't touch it. The moment you try to time the market or rotate out of tech or whatever.
You're breaking the machine.
You are introducing human error into an algorithm designed to work without you.
So hands off.
Oh.
Okay, that covers the shield, cash in the index, survival's locked down. Now we cross the barbell to the sword. Bucket three. This is the growth selection.
This is the core engine. About 50% of your capital lives here. The goal is different from the index. Here, you're trying to own specific businesses that you believe will compound their value over long, long periods.
But he splits this one up too, right? Into 3A and 3B.
Correct. 3A are the stabilizers. Think of companies like Costco or maybe Berkshire Hathaway. They're mature. They're not going to 10x, but they produce massive cash flow. They provide ballast.
And 3B.
3B is explosive growth. These are the companies where most of the value is in the future. Think Amazon in 2005. They're volatile, but they drive that long-term exponential value.
So what's the rule here? For bucket two, it was absolute inaction. Is it the same?
No, and this is a really crucial distinction. For bucket three, the rule is disciplined inaction.
What's the difference between absolute and disciplined?
With the index, you don't even need to know what's in it. With bucket three, you're picking individual stocks, so you must monitor them. You have to check the fundamentals. Is the thesis still valid? Is the management still good?
You're watching.
You're watching very closely. But, and this is the hard part, you have to resist the urge to trade based on the price.
You mean don't sell just because the stock went up?
Or because it went down. Dubé says the most expensive mistake in investing is selling a winner just to lock in a profit. That interrupts compounding. If you sold Amazon in 2010 after a 50% gain, you miss the next, what, 2,000%?
It's like planting an oak tree and then digging it up every few months to check on the roots.
You're going to kill the tree, exactly. The vase metaphor here is a valuable vase. It can break if the business fails, but he says it usually breaks because the investor handles it too much.
Watch it closely. But keep your hands in your pockets unless the business actually breaks.
Precisely.
All right, that brings us to the final bucket, bucket four, the amplifiers. This sounds like the fun part.
It's the exciting stuff, but it's also the most dangerous. This is maybe 15% of the portfolio. These are asymmetric bets.
Asymmetric, meaning the upside is way, way bigger than the downside.
Exactly. Think early stage crypto, a distressed turnaround, maybe angel investing. If you put 1% in and it goes to zero, you lost 1%. But if it goes up 50x, it changes your life. It's about harnessing the power law.
Okay, but wait. There's a massive trap here, isn't there? For bucket three, the rule was don't sell the winners. Does that apply here?
Absolutely not. And this is where so many investors get slaughtered. The rule for bucket four is the complete opposite. Mechanical action, or more specifically, aggressive harvesting.
So we should sell the winners here.
You must. You have to understand the nature of these assets. They are often non-ergodic.
Whoa, okay. Fancy word alert. Non-ergodic. Explain that like I'm five.
Okay. Imagine a game of Russian roulette. If six people play at once, five get rich, one loses. The group average is pretty good. But if one person plays it six times...
They're guaranteed to lose eventually.
Right. Time ruins you. That's non-ergodicity. Bucket four assets are unstable. They can skyrocket on hype and then crash to zero. If your risky bet triples, you don't just hold on forever thinking it's a compounder.
You take the money and run.
You extract the wealth. He calls these leaking vases. The profit is there now, but it might evaporate, so you harvest it. You take your original capital off the table, maybe skim some profits.
This is what he calls the narrative trap.
Yes. The danger is you buy a speculation, it runs up 300%, and your brain starts telling you a story. Oh, I'm a genius. This isn't a gamble. This is the next Amazon. You reclassify a bet as a long-term hold.
And then it drops 90% and you gave it all back.
And you lose everything. You have to keep the buckets distinct. Mm. Bucket three is for holding. Bucket four is for harvesting. Mix up those rules and you will go broke.
So we have the four buckets: cash, index, growth, amplifiers. But the big insight isn't just that they exist. It's that they talk to each other.
They're communicating vessels. This is the system dynamics part. You're managing the flow between them.
So what's the ideal flow? Where should the money go?
The primary flow is always from risk to safety, from the sword to the shield. When you harvest a winner in bucket four, say your crypto bet doubles, you don't put that profit into another risky bet.
You don't let it ride.
No, that's gambling. You move that profit to the sanctuary, bucket one, cash, or bucket two, the index. You sanctuarize your wealth. You make it permanent. You take the luck from the casino and you put it in a bank vault.
I like that. You capture the luck and you turn it into security.
Exactly. And cash is the hub for all this. He brings up this concept called Shannon's Demon.
That sounds like a sci-fi villain.
It does. But Claude Shannon proved mathematically that if you systematically rebalance between a volatile asset like a stock and a stable asset like cash, you can make money even if the stock goes nowhere.
Wait, how is that possible?
It's the volatility. When the stock shoots up, you sell some into cash, sell high. When the stock crashes, you use that cash to buy more shares, buy low. You're automatically extracting value from the noise.
So volatility isn't the enemy.
Volatility is the fuel. But it only works if you have the architecture to capture it. If you're just reacting emotionally, volatility kills you. With the buckets, Shannon's Demon works for you.
It seems like there must be a flow that's absolutely forbidden then.
There is one. The forbidden flow. And Dubé is very clear about this. Never, ever move safe money into risky bets.
Don't take money out of your index fund to buy a lottery ticket.
Never. That is how you create structural ruin. Yeah. You're taking money that has already won the game, it's safe, it's compounding, and putting it back on the roulette table. The market punishes that.
Don't unwin the game. That's a powerful rule.
It really is.
So if we zoom out, we're not just looking at buckets. We're looking at what Dubé calls an orbital system.
Yeah, think of a solar system. Cash is the sun in the middle. It has the gravity, the stability. The other buckets orbit around it.
It really changes the whole mindset. You stop trying to be a stock picker.
You become a portfolio architect, and that is a huge shift. Your job isn't to predict the future. We can't do that.
If the last few years taught us anything, it's that we have no idea what's coming next.
So stop trying. Your job is to build a system that can handle any future. If the market booms, your sword captures it. If the market crashes, your shield protects you and your cash lets you attack.
You win either way. It takes the anxiety out of it.
And that brings us right back to the beginning.
The junk drawer.
If you look at your portfolio and you can't say exactly why you own every single thing, is this a shield? Is this a sword? Is this a lottery ticket I need to harvest? If you can't answer that, then you have a junk drawer.
And junk drawers don't compound.
They just collect dust.
This has been such a clarifying conversation. I think for a lot of us, moving from just collecting stocks to architecting a machine is the leap we need to make.
It's the difference between an amateur and a professional. And the great thing is you can do this with $10,000. It's about the structure, not the amount.
So here's our challenge to you, the listener. Do the audit. Open up your brokerage account and look at every single line item. Can you assign it a bucket? Do you know the rule for that bucket? If you can't, you don't have a system yet. And maybe it's time to start building one.
Start with the buckets.
Thanks for diving deep with us. We'll see you in the next one.